Shema Israel.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generation.
They are your
the eternal light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our story today is the second in a series of original parables, fantasies, and folk tales by Morton Wishenfrad, and is entitled The Third Attribute. Featured are Ronnie Liss as Enoch, Carl Swenson as Reuben, and Alexander Scorby as the narrator.
There is no living man who is good. There is no living man who is evil. He is both good and evil. And this is his nobility. The year was 1824, but it could have been any year. The place was a small city on the Ruthenian border, but it could have been any place. In a parable, time and place are of little significance. What matters only is the parable itself. And the parable began with Enoch, who was the son of the rabbi of Lamed, and 11 years old, and no longer a child. He was different. He was different in many respects.
When he awoke this morning, Doctor, he said his neck was stiff.
You were right to call me, Rabbi.
He suffered from nausea. His head felt like fire to the touch. Doctor, what's wrong with the boy?
I'm not certain.
Tell me, Doctor.
Enoch, do you hear me? I want you to move your leg. Enoch.
Doctor, is he going to live? Nothing else matters.
Infantile paralysis. That was the midsummer, 1824. 3 weeks later, a prematurely old rabbi brought a new servant into the room of his son.
Reuben, this is my son Enoch. His mother is dead. Be whatever you can to him, but whatever you can be to him, first be his friend and his crutch. I give him over in your care, Reuben.
My books.
If you said please, I'd do it with better grace.
Do it with bad grace. Just fetch my books because I say fetch them.
You'll never let me forget that I'm your servant.
I dislike you, Reuben. You know that, don't you?
Shall we begin the lesson?
Don't dismiss me. I said I dislike you.
Very well, Enoch, I dislike you.
You hate me because my grandfathers were rabbis, because my father is a rabbi now, because I'll be a rabbi when I grow up.
Why should I hate you for that?
Because your father was a beggar and you were born a servant and you will die a servant.
Let's begin the lesson.
Reuben, you're a coward. Why don't you slap my face?
The lesson, please.
As you wish. Where do we resume?
Midrash Telim 119.
I am the vessel, thou art the maker. Fashion me in beauty that thou mayest receive praise for thy workmanship. You deliberately chose that passage. Your revenge, Reuben?
It was an accident, Enoch. Please forgive me.
Don't be absurd. You were paying me back. I can understand that. You were entitled to pay me back. That's justice.
We'll turn to another page.
No, I like this one. I will praise God who fashioned me in beauty. O Lord, look down upon thy creature. Here I am, Enoch, thy child, well-fashioned and beautiful of limb. Let me render praise for beauty, O Lord.
Boy, stop that. That's blasphemy.
Give me my crutches.
No, I'll carry you wherever you want to go.
No one carries me. I'll go by myself.
Here, Enoch. Enoch. Enoch, I have to say this. No one is persecuting you. No one is any better because of your affliction. Enoch, you are not going to become a man until you stop hating every human being who has two sound legs.
What a pretty speech. Thank you, Reuben. Thank you very much.
The boy smiled, but there was no laughter in the curve of his lips. Reuben came to understand that smile. It was like a curl of bitterness and a torment. Why did he stay with the boy? Why did he suffer the taunts and the scorn, the perverse anger and the conceit? It was a question Reuben asked himself. Why did he abide the boy?
Ha, it's quite simple. You're paid.
Enoch. Be careful. I can stand just so much.
You'll never leave me.
Just try me a little more and you'll see.
You'll never leave me and I'll tell you why you won't. You're capable of no deception. I am capable of any deception. The moment you turn your back to leave me, I'll throw my crutches away. I'll try to walk and I'll deliberately fall to the ground. And Reuben, because you're sentimental, you'll pick me up and pity me. And you'll stay. What you won't do for love, you'll do for pity.
You're not 11 years old. You can't be.
You're right. I was old before I was born. Reuben, you won't ever leave me. And you're a fool.
Enoch and Reuben. And which of the two was the prisoner and which was the jailer? Did Reuben stay on for love or for hate? It was a question that was hard to answer. All that the man could feel was his enmity for the boy, and this was a bond that grew between them and held them each to the other like some morbid lesion. But there were other bonds, stranger, unexpected bonds.
For heaven's sake, get rid of that foul thing.
It's a living creature, Reuben, even if it's only a mangy cat sick with the worms. Where's your sense of pity?
I can't stand cats. Give them to me. I'll get rid of them.
Take your hands away. Reuben, let the cat alone or I'll kill you.
You really would, wouldn't you?
Why, he's hurt, you fool. Can't you see it? His ear is half bitten off. Ask Father for some ointment.
Here, Enoch, look at me.
Do what I tell you.
First, look at me. Well, they won't believe me. There are tears in your eyes.
Get the ointment.
I'm glad.
He's worse than I am, Reuben. I can feel for him. Now fetch the ointment.
Yes, I'll do it right away. Enoch, do you know something? It isn't enough to show mercy to those who are weaker and worse off than you. The strong and the mighty, and men and women with two whole legs. Even they deserve mercy.
The bond between them was sewn with invisible thread.
Reuben, you're my crutch. And what good is a crutch without a cripple?
He was not an ordinary boy, and he spoke an extraordinary truth. For even more than the calf needs to suckle, so does the cow need to nourish.
I'm a poor father to him. I wish I could be with him more. My only consolation, Reuben, is that he's learning under you.
And the thread that was sewn was doubled in strength. For the boy himself, clumsily, self-consciously, almost fearfully, the boy himself casually opened a page in the Talmud and read a line aloud as if to no one at all.
One who teaches a child is like unto him who begot him. It's time for Abdallah, Reuben. I seem to have mislaid my crutches. Do you think you could carry me into the living room?
Reuben lifted him, and the boy placed his child's arm around the man's shoulder. And then they both knew what was true. If you wish to be loved, first you must love. The man carried the boy into the room where the Havdalah candle was already lit and the song of the Sabbath departure already begun. The words were, Hamavdil ben Kodesh Lechol, Hafusenu Hu Yimchol. He who distinguishes between the holy and the profane, he will forgive our sins. It was a symbol. The cup brimmed with wine for the Havdalah, the smell of the spice box, the singing of the words. The prayer was finished and the Havdalah candle extinguished. But the symbol remained for them. The rabbi stood silently, as if to memorize the place where the light had been, and to touch the air where the song had risen. He smiled, and then the smile left his face.
Another Sabbath has gone. It always makes me sad. I have the feeling that I shall never have a better time to speak to you both. Reuben, you've been a good servant and a friend.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Will you humor an old man? Don't answer too quickly.
What is it, Rabbi?
I ask a promise of you, Reuben. Only my own selfishness gives me the right to ask it. Promise that you will never leave this house while Enoch lives.
I promise.
God bless you.
And what do you ask of me, Father?
Something you can't give.
I'm sorry.
I wish you had it, Enoch. You have everything else, but not that. My son, tonight when you go to sleep, don't curse God for the pain you've known, because suffering has quickened your intellect and refined your perceptions.
Do you want me to bless God because my legs are limp and useless?
Oh, I've hurt you. I apologize. My son, you are swollen with your own suffering. Why should it make you larger and more meritorious in your own eyes?
Well, he's a boy. It'll pass.
No, it won't pass. It's the thing I want from him and the thing he can't give me. Enoch, the verse is in the book of Micah. It hath been told thee, O man, what is good and what the Lord doth require of thee, only to do justice and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. Enoch, three attributes, justice and mercy and humility.
Father, whatever it is you want to tell me, please tell me.
Find the third attribute. Justice and mercy disappear without it. Find it quickly, Enoch, before you destroy your own soul.
In the 14th year of Enoch's life, his father died, and the boy was alone with his servant Reuben. And then a strange thing happened, a thing almost without precedent or parallel. Imperceptibly, the boy began to sit in his father's place. Even when his judgment was childish, his eyes saw things that no child should be permitted to see. He spoke words which astonished his listeners. And when he read the astonishment in their faces, he was pleased with himself, and he stroked the wasted muscles of his legs as though pride and flattery could make them supple.
Enoch, where are you going? I want to talk to you.
Talk away.
Stand still, please. I can't talk unless you listen.
Say what you have to say. Come to the point.
You're easily impatient with me.
Spit it out, Reuben. Don't present a commentary before the argument. You have all day.
Never mind, Enoch. We'll discuss it some other time.
We'll discuss whatever it is right now.
You're proud.
I have a right to pride. If God has given me wisdom, shall I pretend that God has made me stupid?
You're very wise in your own eyes.
Not my eyes alone. Other men's eyes, too.
Though thou exalt thyself as the eagle, and though thou...
Be still, Reuben. I don't want any more of that.
And though thou set thy nest among the stars...
Not another word. This is my house.
This was your father's house. It is a good house to speak a line of scripture in. And though thou set thy nest among the stars, thence will I bring thee down, saith the Lord. You have become insufferable. Your arrogance is an affront to every person.
Reuben, if you don't like it here, then go away from this house.
I would go. 100 times, but I gave your father my pledge.
I lift the pledge. You're free.
You're even more arrogant than I thought.
You heard what I said. I lift the pledge.
The pledge was to your father.
Then remember that you were my father's servant and that you are now my servant. When I speak to you, you may speak, not otherwise.
I shall speak when I wish to speak.
I never struck you, Reuben. Don't make me strike you now.
Would you lift your hand against me? You, Enoch? You struck me, Enoch.
Yes.
You struck me twice.
Yes. Yes, I struck you. Oh, Reuben. Reuben, forgive me. In the name of Almighty God, say you forgive me.
I forgive you, Enoch. But do you forgive yourself?
It was a question. And when he should have been asleep, Enoch tried to solve the riddle of the question and to answer it. But all he found was a night without sleep and no answer to the riddle. Can a man acquire forgiveness? Or does he make his own forgiveness within himself? The soul delights to do mercy, but what soul delights to receive it? It had begun to rain when Enoch lit a candle and gathered his clothes together. The beginning of humility is in repentance, and Enoch repented of his sin. He put on his clothes and gathered his phylacteries, his prayer shawl, and a few books together. And then he took his crutches and left his father's house. And he hobbled into the night and the rain.
Think the sun shines and the rain falls and the men cut the hay for the cattle and stack it in the barns so the little tramps like you can come and sleep in it? Get up and be on your way.
Old man, what day is this?
You don't look like a tramp. The day is Thursday.
Been gone since Monday.
You've run away?
Yes.
Running away is no good.
How do you know that, old man?
A man runs away from himself. But who runs away with him? Himself. You can't run away because the thing you try to escape is always you. You've got to face it out.
Thank you, old man.
Are these your crutches?
I wonder.
Well, aren't they?
Only in a way. I have many crutches, thousands of them, millions. Every man alive is my crutch, and I am his. I've just realized that.
He hobbled from village to village among the learned and the unlearned. And he began to realize and to understand the delicacy of the third attribute.
You can make up your mind to be just or to be merciful, but you can't make up your mind to be humble. Humility can't be self-conscious, because then it becomes conspicuous humility. And that's hypocrisy.
This was another beginning. But he still had more to learn. And he did not learn it in a book or a synagogue or from the lips of a saint. He learned it in a ditch beside a road. He learned it from the lips of...
a murderer. That's right, boy. I killed a man. Why don't you draw away?
You've done me no injury. It means you have no reason to hate me.
Then you know that. It's a good thing to know. The people you hate are the people you hurt. I hate the man I killed because I can never undo what I've done to him. Well, why don't you tell me that I'm going to hell?
I don't want you to judge my sins. Why do you ask me to judge yours?
Listen, boy, I've never stolen. I've tried never to lie. A woman gave me birth just as a woman gave you birth. Once a little girl called me Papa. It's mixed up, boy, I and you and the whole human race. Mixed up because if it weren't mixed up, I'd go back and admit I was rotten to the bone. And I'd take my punishment. If you ever sin, go back, boy. Go back and take what's coming to you.
I think I understand.
Do you? It isn't easy. It's like this coin. Heads. We'll try it again. Tails. The same coin, boy. There can't be pleasure without pain. Or goodness without rottenness.
They're really the same thing, aren't they?
It took me 47 years to find that out. You know it now. Is it going to help you?
On a Sabbath evening, after the congregation had left the synagogue, a boy in ragged clothing hobbled into a house in a village on the Ruthenian border. And in the gathering darkness, his groping hand found a spice box and a Habdalah candle, and a cup to hold the wine for the Habdalah, the prayer which divides holy from profane, darkness from light.
Thief! Put down the cup! Come into the light where I can see you! Put down the cup and the spice box, you thief. I warn you. Put them down before I take them by force. I've warned you. You going to put them down?
Don't strike me again, Reuben. I struck you twice. You struck me twice. Let the blows cancel each other.
Enoch, you're safe.
Home with you, Reuben.
I was crazy with worry, boy. Why did you go?
To find the third attribute. To look for the thing my father wanted from me.
Enoch, listen. The Sabbath is departing. It's the hour of the Habdullah.
Take up the cup, Reuben. But leave the candle for me. I want to hold the candle.
This is the entire story and the meaning of the story. If there is ignorance, there is also learning. If there is bitter, there is also sweet. If there is pain, there is also pleasure. There is no coin that does not have two sides. And there is no man living who does not have two impulses. And a man or a boy will break his heart many times before he learns what Enoch learned and what I have learned. That without the impulse to evil, man can do no evil. But neither can he do good. Cantor David Putterman will sing a section from the sixth chapter of the prophetic book of Micah, which was quoted in our dramatization. The first two verses will be chanted in the traditional cantillation of the synagogue. The last verse, in the translation from the Hebrew original, "It hath been told thee, O man, what is good, and what the Lord doth require of thee, only to do justice, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God, will be sung in a liturgic adaptation.
Bamo akadei madoshen ikaf leloekei moron akademenu veolos bagolim b'nei shonos hayret Adoshem Bealefei Eilim Berivavos Nach Leishonem Ha'etein V'chori Pishi Perivitni Chatas Nafshi Igit lecha Oda Matar Ulmad Oshem
would like a free copy of the script you have just heard, write to The Eternal Light, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. The parable, The Third Attribute, was written for The Eternal Light by Morton Wishengrad. The music was composed by Morris Mamorsky and conducted by Milton Caton. Cantor David Putterman sang the liturgical music. Featured as Enoch was Ronnie Liss, and Reuben was played by Carl Swenson. Alexander Scorby was the narrator. The entire production was under the direction of Frank Papp. This program is a presentation of the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations, and comes to you each week at this same time under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. If you would like a free copy of today's script, write to The Eternal Light, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.